Federal managers often say they know how important innovation is, but they struggle to create an environment for innovation in government. Nishita Henry is technology principal with Deloitte. She tells Federal News Radio's Eric White about some fresh findings that map out forces driving innovation and government transformation.
Some of these things are here and now, like right-speed IT and reimagining core systems, as well as social impact. And some of these things are more at the edge for the government, like augmented and virtual reality, Internet of Things, blockchain technology. So we really explore trends that are very, very relevant immediately to trends that are coming in the next few years that the government really needs to start looking at and understanding how they'll impact the market as a whole, how they can embrace them, and how commercial industries might have already embraced them.
Tell me a little bit about Rightspeed IT and what federal agencies can do with using that method.
Sure. So Rightspeed IT is really about finding harmony between stability and agility in technology. There are a great deal of things IT organizations have to make sure operate and serve the organization in the current state, and they also need to be flexible enough in order to be innovative and harness new technologies and new ways of doing business. And there's a lot of tension between those things in an organization. For one, the processes might be different that govern those two things. The talent required to drive those are different, as well as the governance models. And so organizations really need to understand how they develop both of those skill sets in order to support the operations and support the new technology. So sometimes, they've been going with this one-size-fits-all approach in the past when they didn't have to worry about this tension nearly as much because the rate of technology wasn't near the speed it is now. But now they have to really think about how do they do this from a architectural perspective while having some standards but being flexible enough to allow new things, from a procurement perspective to allow new types of organizations to come help and influence and drive new technologies while keeping stability, and also from an operations side and really getting development into operations in a much more smooth manner, sometimes referred to as DevOps.
What do you guys mean by tension? Do you mean that it causes issues as in that causes gaps or miscommunications or something like that?
Yeah, tension meaning, right, if you're trying to maintain stable systems and you want to have a set architecture and you want to make sure things have standards, right, that doesn't always seem to align with let's be flexible and bring in new things and be okay with something that's different. And so there's a tension between control and flexibility in an organization. And so that's what they need to maintain balance with. It can't be an all or nothing game because you need both of those things in order to be successful.
And so reimagining core systems, I see, is another trend that you all discuss in the report. What can you tell me about the pressure CIOs are facing as you talked about developments are coming faster and faster, but actually implementing them?
Yeah. So they've got decades-old legacy systems, right, that are at the heart of their mission and their back-office processes. And at the same time, while these are complex and enormous systems that have years and years of rules and processes that have built up, taxpayer expectations and citizen expectations have risen dramatically in terms of ease of use, transparency, and efficiency that these systems were not originally built to support. And so CIOs have to maintain these systems in order to maintain operations. This, again, goes to that stability side. At the same time, they need to do a lot of modernization of these systems for several reasons. One, the technology is getting old and much more costly to maintain. Two, it's not actually meeting the expectations of the citizen today in terms of the customer-facing data, the ability to access what they need at the right time, making changes, et cetera. And three, the organizations themselves have expectations for better and faster and cheaper. And so they have to maintain all three of those at the same time that they are transforming into the new way of doing business.
Is there sort of a disconnect between customers and government agencies, as in citizens just think, oh, we're paying all this tax money, all these government agencies, everything to do with the internet and technology sector within those agencies should work, we're paying for it, but they don't actually see that, no, well, maybe the agencies don't always have the amount of resources that they necessarily need to satisfy the average taxpayer.
Absolutely. You know, I think the expectation has risen because every day we go home and we're on our iPhones and we go to Amazon and we go to Google and things are there right at the touch of a fingertip, right? And we have that same expectation of government, but it's a much, much bigger ship to try to turn and move than in private industry. And so they have to dedicate their resources to maintaining as is, but they don't necessarily have all the resources to go to the 2B. It's like flying a plane and changing the engine at the same time, right? We've heard that analogy. Well, that is what the government is facing. And we have to find ways in order to get understanding from the citizens that things are changing. There are a lot of people in government that have great ideas and great expectations for what it could be, but they need the resources and they need the talent to be able to bring that forward in a faster manner.
Let's talk about the Internet of Things. When is that sort of dream sort of going to become a reality? Because everything we hear about the Internet of Things is, well, just think about how great it would be if your chair was connected to the Internet and it knew your weight approximately and things like that. How well are agencies doing at actually getting some of these ideas that a lot of people have into the practice?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that the people that are closest to this are folks that really maintain large assets, physical assets. So whether they be kind of transportation organizations, right, that have assets like railways, and they need to be able to understand what weather conditions are doing, what the traffic on those segments are, what the condition from a physical perspective is, right? Those are sensors and things that they need to start taking advantage of to gather information and better. Or use that information in order to prevent delays, make sure that there is an eye on safety, et cetera. For organizations that don't control large physical assets yet, it's a little bit less at the forefront. But, you know, think about it today in terms of they're advertising refrigerators as always connected. And if there happens to be a flood or there happens to be, the electricity goes out, you can program your refrigerator to conserve energy. And that's really what the Internet of Things is allowing citizens to do, and the government is trying to use that same concept in order to maintain larger physical assets and also connect their citizens with those assets to get them more and more information. But Internet of Things, I think, is a little bit further away in terms of actual readiness for the public sector to adopt, but clearly a lot of relevance in order to start doing some testing and piloting and getting more understanding of how that would work in the space.
And can virtual reality be used in any other agency? I mean, obviously it's there for the military and even NASA, but what about any other agencies that could use it for training purposes?
Absolutely. I think there are a lot of cases for virtual reality that enable a lot of different organizations to take advantage of training their staff and their folks to be much more ready for events that happen. For instance, you can even think of it in terms of kind of like emergency preparedness, right? So your FEMAs or your CDCs who send folks out there into the field to respond to disasters or respond to crises could use a virtual reality setting in order to do that real time and get better trained on how environmental conditions might affect the situation, how different pieces of the environment may need to come together and coordinate in order to go out and serve the constituency. So there are a lot of places in which augmented reality could really help this. But as we know, training is one of those things that never gets all of the funding it needs because it needs to go into that stability and operations. But if we're thinking forward and we're looking towards how to be better prepared for these things, augmented reality and virtual reality is actually a way to do it in a much more efficient manner than learning on the field.
Any other trends that your report mentions that we haven't touched on yet?
One other thing to talk about is some of the social impact of some of these technologies. I think the conversation around social is obviously enormous these days. There's not anybody out there that isn't connected on some form of social media, whether it be Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, and even all of the new ones like Snapchat that our children are using these days. I think that the use of social from a government perspective needs to be much more coordinated and well thought out in terms of how do we get communications out to constituencies in a much more timely and efficient manner? How do we affect behavior over the consumer in terms of driving them more to online channels, which makes government a lot more efficient and less costly? And in terms of really getting the constituency to understand what the mission of organizations are, I think there's an enormous power in using social and the government to be able to drive that change.
Nishita Henry is a technology principal with Deloitte, speaking with Federal News Radio's Eric White. Find her report and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.